This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
Engineering students from across North America have gathered in Escondido, California to explore the limits of ingenuity. They've spent many months of hard work combining their knowledge of physics, engineering, craftsmanship, and teamwork to perfect a human-powered submarine. Now the true test is at hand. A shot at a Guinness Book World Record at Scripps Institution of Oceanography's World Submarine Invitational. The World Submarine Invitational is not just for record-breaking. It's an opportunity for tomorrow's engineers to explore design and innovation and to experience the pursuit of excellence. It is appropriate that the symbol for this effort is another young college student who, over 200 years ago, also pushed the limits of ingenuity, but in the face of a very different challenge. July 4th, 1776. The colonies declare their independence from Britain. The fight is on. To assert control over its colonies, one of Britain's tactics is to bring the Royal Navy to bear on the colony's harbors, leveling its massive firepower against the tiny ragtag colonial navy. Meanwhile, young David Bushnell, a Yale College student, works earnestly to contribute to the revolution. His plan is to attack His Majesty's naval blockades with the mines he builds for the Continental Forces, but he needs a sure way to deliver his powder charges to their targets. A rowboat? Some kind of device for a swimmer to attach a charge. The ideas merge. Yankee ingenuity goes to work. He imagines a submerging boat which can be rowed by hand, and thus is born the Turtle. Built by using cask-making techniques, the Turtle earned its name from the way it resembled two turtle shells joined together. The Turtle was propelled forward by a hand and foot-driven propeller constructed of oar blades and would submerge by using a combination of water ballast and a hand-cranked prop on top of the Turtle. The operator would steer the Turtle with a rudder, which could also be used to scull the craft forward, and it had a snorkel for breathing, which, like modern-day devices, used a ball and cage apparatus to close upon submerging. This left the one-man crew with 30 minutes of air to make the attack. That was done by driving a wood screw, which was attached to a 150-pound charge, into the hull of the target. The charge would be left behind, its clock fuse ticking away for up to 12 hours. Bushnell solicits the support of Ben Franklin, demonstrating his prototype in convincing fashion. The plan is set: attack the British fleet. On the night of September 7th, 1776, Sergeant Ezra Lee enters the Turtle to embark on the attack. He ventures into the murky cold towards the target, the HMS Eagle. After hours of struggling against the tides, he approaches the target and submerges to attack, invisible to the patrol boats gliding overhead, so close he can hear guards' voices. Lee attacks, but as he drills the hull of the Eagle, he hits metal. He tries again and again, but with air dwindling and dawn approaching, he calls off the attack. This and other Turtle attacks were ultimately military failures. But the history of humans in the sea was forever changed through the determination of this young engineer, David Bushnell. The teams will vie for the speed record here at the offshore model basin in Escondido, California. This marine engineering test facility, which is the largest of its kind in North America, is the proving ground for marine design from the military to the America's Cup, and has even hosted the likes of Free Willy. The basin is actually a pool, which is literally the length of a football field and holds some 1.5 million gallons of water. 50 meters from the starting area at one end of the pool is a timing gate consisting of two underwater cameras, which are exactly 10 meters apart. The run is recorded on videotape as the sub passes the two cameras, and the speed, or time to cover the 10-meter distance, is calculated. The object is to be going as fast and as straight as possible between the two cameras. The event draws a diverse batch of entries, and there are many different and sometimes contradictory theories about what the best design is. But most of the submarines share some basic design characteristics. The body, or hull of the sub, is generally cylindrical in shape and is large enough to house one or two scuba-equipped divers. The propeller, usually on the rear of the hull, is driven through a drive train and gearbox combination. And finally, the submarine is steered by manipulating the control system of dive planes and fins, or control surfaces. These basic elements of design represent approaches to the same physical and mechanical challenges which all of the teams face.
Pitch is actually a measurement given by distance. Theoretically, as the sub is moving through the water, this blade travels and follows a helical path. And the distance between the top of the helix to the next top of the helix is the actual pitch measurement. If you increase your pitch, which is just increasing the distance that the sub moves with one propeller revolution, you also increase your angle of attack. What that does is the prop sees a different incoming flow vector. It'd be kind of like an airplane has a high angle of attack on climb out, and when in cruise, very, very low angle of attack. So if we set a fine pitch or a low angle, we have a low angle of attack. Okay. What that does is it reduces the power required, but it also tends to reduce the thrust. Now, if you keep on increasing this, it gets to a point where if it was sideways, all your force is just used to push the prop against the water. You don't generate any thrust. The other extreme is all the way back, and it's easier to turn because the blade is now feathered, if you would, and the drawback there is no thrust also. So somewhere in between is the optimum.
Water or any fluid likes to flow from a region of high pressure to a region of low pressure. That's natural. And this is achieved on the rising, let's call it like that, the rising part of the hull. When the hull thickens, the flow accelerates, so by the Bernoulli principle, the pressure drops, and that's natural. So we are going from high pressure to a low pressure. On the back of the shape, velocity drops, then pressure rises. This is not natural.
Drag can vary a lot based on how your shape tucks in at the back. For example, if this slope at the back here tucks in very sharp or sharply, what can happen is the flow layers coming around the back can separate, and it's in effect like a stall on a wing, and you can have turbulence back here, and that'll increase your drag.
Well, the importance of wetted area is that when the submarine is moving through the water, it creates a resistance force on it, and that's what the pedaler has to counteract when he's pedaling. The wetted surface area is the amount of surface area of the submarine, and it's important because it creates the greatest amount of friction when the submarine is moving through the water. And so reducing the wetted surface area is the most important thing to get the most speed out of a submarine.
As far as surface area goes, you calculate the surface that will have water flowing over it. In our case, we're at about 65 square feet of surface area on this hull. And since our drag coefficient is based on that, if we can reduce our surface area, we get a corresponding drag decrease. All right. Now, obviously, if you've got 65 square feet and you're pushing a flat plate through the water, your drag coefficient is going to be enormous. It would be 2 for a flat plate. So it's very, very high, whereas we're at 0.004, for example, for this shape, is our theoretical calculation.
The team from the University of Washington prepares their sub. They're scheduled to be first on the course.
We're totally prepared and have no problems whatsoever. You can see the Bondo is almost dry on the submarine. And we just clear-coated the submarine and painted it before we put it in the box and dried on the way down here. Hopefully we're going to set a world speed record that can't possibly be broken by any of the other teams. And hopefully we'll get to the end of the course as well. The last-minute flurry is just to get ready, and hopefully we'll be in the tank within an hour.
I'm stoked. Literally, I'm gonna stoke it the first run. So I'm getting pumped, getting ready to go.
You get in, okay. I get in, okay. Hatch goes on. Somebody comes to the front, gets you the signal. You squeeze me. Then we get about halfway down, squeeze me again. I'll return the squeeze on your ankle.
Okay. After months of preparation, the moment of truth has come. It's time to put their sub to the test. Unfortunately, human error prevents them from even starting the run.
When he crawled in, we have an emergency hatch release in the front, and we think he bumped it and knocked it loose. And so when he took off the cone and started lifting off like that, ended up ripping this off. So, easy to fix.
As Washington's sub is experiencing its first growing pains, the previous record of 5.94 knots, which was once thought of as unbeatable, has already been broken by William Nikoloff of Northridge, California. His craft, Substandard, is one of several entries in the event in the open or non-collegiate division. It is now the fastest human-powered submarine in the world, with a run of 6.01 knots, a mark which he will keep breaking throughout the day.
I just try to optimize everything, try to keep everything working correctly. It's a little bit larger than my last sub, so this is the second sub I've built, but I've made a couple of improvements on it. I use two different methods to design my propeller blade. The propeller blade efficiency is up higher. I drop my RPMs of my propeller blade down lower for more efficiency. I switch from linear to cyclic drive, and change from a top lid to a side lid, and we'll see how those things work.
Washington seems to be snake bit. On their next run, they avoid hitting a diver and can't regain control.
He kind of was deflected on the takeoff from a diver, you know, and he was just off enough so that he was fighting his way back, and then the tail end swung around, you know, because of the control and not having a control surface in the front, you see. And so it kind of mushes through the water a little bit, and so it bounced off the wall.
As Washington makes its repairs, another team arrives on the scene. The entry from Montreal's École des Technologies Supérieures, Omer 2. By the end of the day, they'll be on their way towards challenging Bill Nikoloff's ever-improving record. With more repairs made, the Washington team gathers to cheer on the next attempt.
There it goes. Come on, come on.
Here we go. Trying to hold stability.
Go! It's still going! Oh, it's taking a hard right. Go!
Yeah, but they're still
going off to the side. You're out of control.
It's the end of a trying day for Washington, and they have their work cut out for them if they hope to regroup. It's the next day, and the Washington team has had an eventful night.
I think there was really disappointment, extreme disappointment yesterday when we couldn't get through and get a run in. And we realized that there was something very badly wrong inside. And so when we got it all apart and realized the gearbox was gone, we figured that Saturday night in a place 1,500 miles from any contacts we had, we wouldn't be able to get a new one. And the only thing we could do was get a new gearbox, as well as the repairs on the fins. So one of the team members said, I know somebody that works for the Granger Company. And she made a few phone calls and found out that they had a gearbox in San Diego.
Then last night when they found out that the gearbox could be replaced, everybody was just super, super excited. At this point, everybody's just sort of worried, I think, just that they won't even get one single time down. nothing even entered in the competition. That's a tough thing to deal with, but you know, there's also that sliver of hope. Maybe everything will work out. Maybe they still will make the world record, you know? There's that one shot. Yeah, maybe. And so it's definitely worth it to try.
With renewed hope, Washington makes another attempt, but mechanical problems foil them this time.
Chain popped off. Felt pretty good for about a revolution and a half, and then it kind of got a little stiff, and I put a little pressure on it, and then it kind of skipped a little, and then just came right off. So, but apparently the navigation worked pretty well, so we got that problem fixed. Now I just need to get the chain fixed again. Hopefully it'll be a quick fix. We'll see. Pretty frustrating, though. Pretty frustrating.
Time is running out for the University of Washington. Still trying for a successful run, they continue to have problems with their drivetrain, and their submarine is suffering.
You know what we should get an award for? The most hoists in and out of the pool. We certainly have that record.
One run, that's it, huh?
One run?
It, we get one chance and that's it?
That's all you're going to need, right?
That's what I've been saying for 2 days.
At this point, it's band-aids on major wounds. So.
I just don't give up. You just can't give up. What can I say, you know?
And drink lots of beer.
We put so much effort into it, it's, you just got to keep going.
Halfway and all of a sudden the thing just flipped over on its back and we lost breathing. I mean you could breathe in, the back pressure was too great to exhale, so we ended up he ended up purging his regulator to get some air, and I had to just hold it for a while. Well, we rolled over, got vertical again, took another big breath, and that's when we started heading for the wall, and after that it was all downhill. So
come on guys, let's do it this time.
Inspired by their grit and determination, the event organizers give Washington one last shot at a run.
No spinning this time, all right there, controls boy. Come on. I'm losing my stomach.
I know.
Unfortunately, time has finally run out for Washington. They are unable to get to the timing gate to get an official run. They must now pack up their submarine for the long trip back to Seattle. It has been a valiant effort, but a mountain of small problems has combined to foil their program.
Every part of the sub is important, and just the small little things are what add up to kill you. And without a lot of practice, you don't find those. And we just didn't have enough time in the water before we came down.
We learned a lot from what we saw, both on other subs and how our sub responded to the competition. So coming away from this competition, we have a wealth of knowledge. I think we learned a lot more than anyone else that actually was going well. We learned what we can do, and next time we'll be very competitive, I believe.
Some of the most dramatic action of the whole event takes place past the timing gates in the domain of the catchers. These are people willing to take it on the chin, or in the gut, to stop a speeding sub. These subs are full of momentum as they hurtle down the course, and it is the catcher's job to keep their team's many months of work out of harm's way, a job which requires a certain sacrifice. It's the third day of the event, and some new faces appear on the scene. Midshipmen from the United States Naval Academy are preparing their sub.
Basically, all the systems, the control systems, drivetrain systems, life support systems, we try to keep it as simple as possible, as reliable as possible, as durable as possible. The only things which had a lot of engineering were the hull design, which was, as I said, was designed by a midshipman in a class of 94, and the propeller design, which was also designed by midshipmen and professors of the Naval Academy this semester.
The hull was designed so it has foil sections that were laid down on top of it, so it has an elliptical cross-section. And we have a non-circular cross-section in the aft end, and in the forward, it's almost circular. And it was designed to give the minimum amount of wetted surface area and still have it ergonomic. One of the big changes we have is we don't have bow dive planes. And the reason why we did not go with bow dive planes is because we found that they create a lot of turbulence along the hull when you use them, and it really slows the sub down a lot. Now, the whole principle behind the stability of using the dive planes in the aft is it's almost like an arrow. When you shoot an arrow, if you ever shot an arrow without the feathers on it, you'll notice that it'll spin, it'll be unstable. What the feathers in the back do is they create drag, which allows the arrow to become stable in flight. And just like our submarine, we have all dive planes in the back.
When we started this project, started the actual construction in January, I got out a program called Microsoft Project to try and plan out our all of our assets and all of our personnel to try and maximize time in the shop and maximize time working on the submarine. And, you know, it's kind of funny because in the end, that all kind of caves in and you just need to get down there and get it built.
Let everybody let go of it.
Back away from it.
The sub seems to be well ballasted now. We have both divers. We put him inside. Peddler can move his knees. There's plenty of clearance for him. The driver up front has plenty of clearance also, and he can move around. So we've done everything but actually pedal down the tank right now. That's what we're going to do now.
love something you got set free sometimes.
Okay, we've got the Navy boat underway. They're making their first run. The off-gassing bubbles look good. They're not going into the props. They look to be level. Boy, these guys are right on track, and they're going to have a good first run. They're on the way now. We're in the quad screen now. Oh, no, it looks like they went low. They went off to the side. I can't, without, there, they're in the quad screen now. And that's it. They've caught one of the buoys at the end of the screen, and here comes one of the Navy divers looking for them.
How'd it go?
Not bad. A little bit of depth,
let's take it to that dock over there, all right?
Somebody said you hit one of the wires or something, the gate things, and that might have thrown you down.
Okay.
We can fix it. Don't worry about it.
It's only a small setback for the Naval Academy. They plan to spend two more days at the event, plenty of time to iron out their navigational difficulties. Another contender has arrived at the basin, Texas A&M College Station, and their vessel, Submaroon, which was brought out west to California via horse trailer.
Well, we thought it was kind of fitting to have an ag school bring a submarine, you know, halfway across the country in a horse trailer, so it kind of worked out pretty funny. And then we found out Galveston brought theirs that way too, so we just all got a big kick out of it. Plus, it was the only, it was free, and it was the only way to get it down here.
The prop we have now is a sickle-shaped prop. It was given to us by the man who manufactured our props for us. We have a larger prop, which is based on a design that we did, and the person who built our props for us built us that one, which we had asked for, and in his spare time, he came up with this design, a real fast, high-speed prop, which is more likely to what you'd see on an actual nuclear submarine. It's three-bladed, and we've been practicing with it. We have no calculations on it, just the time we spent with it in the water, and it appears to be a very high-speed prop, and we're hoping it's going to do good for us.
It looks like they'll get a chance to test the new generation prop. There's still some time left in the day, so College Station decides to make a trial run. Submaroon is off on its very first run.
Sub on the course. Sub on the course.
Yeah, he's porpoised, and but he's on the surface. He's continuing to run. He's continuing to run. Power back up. He's trying. He's going for it. He's on your boat now. Keep watching him. Keep watching him.
Submaroon veers out of control.
Hard left-hand turn. Oh, he's going to hit it dead on.
They're on a collision course with fellow Texans from A&M Galveston.
Good job. Take them back to the center, guys.
Can't believe our own brethren trying to hit our sub. What are you doing?
Good job, brother.
That was close.
That was a potentially disastrous.
Our own brethren up there trying to hit our sub. Take us out. Can't believe that would happen. Oh, man.
Listen. Why didn't you turn like that?
I didn't. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I didn't think you did.
Well, I must have.
You, yeah. you pulled back on both of them, didn't you?
Yeah, you did. You pulled back on both.
No, I didn't. We just got our first time, and it's 3.52 knots. After how many years of racing? 6 years? We finally completed a race.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, if we go in a straight line, we ought to be able to get pretty good speed.
College Station's brethren from Texas A&M Galveston have been at the event for 3 days and have yet to complete a successful run. Their vessel, Lafitte's Revenge, has been plagued with buoyancy and drivetrain problems.
Our drive system was made out of aluminum plating, and even though aluminum's light metal, when we got that drive system in there and put the sub in the water, that tail sank, hit the ground as fast as you could see. So what we've done is we've narrowed down a lot of the plating in the control system, and these last two compartments, we had the submarine split it into foot-long compartments. Last two, we've been stuck in with a real high-compression foam just to get the buoyancy up. And what he's doing right now is trying to get the gearbox for the drive system connected in. Then we're going to go in and surround the thing with more foam, so it could ever as buoyant as possible. We figured out that our major problem with the submarine has been buoyancy problems, just because we got a really heavy drivetrain and a really light hull up front. So the thing just wants to flip, you know, nose up.
It's the morning of the fourth day of the World Submarine Invitational, and Galveston is already facing its first challenge of the day.
Ran into some problems this morning when we put our drivetrain in. Took it out last night, put in some new gears to gear up the drivetrain, and found out this morning the gearbox was in backwards. So for the past 45 minutes, we've been rushing through here doing a three-hour job of changing around the gearbox.
They get the gearbox in and take a run.
And he's moving pretty good.
Sub on the course.
Looks like he's straight down the center line.
Galveston looks good, but they don't make the timing gate and head off course into the wall. Although it's their best run yet, they're still having problems with their control system.
Just in the nick of time.
Thinking about changing the name of our sub to Murphy's Revenge. We're just doing a little tweaking on our control surfaces, making them run a little bit tighter. We had too much control in the back, so we chopped those off, and now we're working on the actual control system itself, making it a little bit tighter so we have better control over what we do have. And probably have her back in the water in about 20 minutes.
Sub on the course. Sub on the course.
Galveston is back on the course and seemed to have a handle on their control problems. Even though they've had a little trouble navigating the timing gate, which results in an untimed run, there is cause for elation amongst the team.
We got to the end.
They've had their best run, but problems with their drivetrain continue.
We got our stoker here right now. His name's Espen Johansson. We put him in the sub four times. All four times he's broken our drivetrain.
You gotta go show him the record.
Show him on the blade.
Come over here. We got four drivetrain broken, all by Espen. We got one brick wall, and we got one timing camera.
They have not been feeding me. They're gonna feed me at the finish line. I haven't finished yet, so I'm kinda hungry and I'm gonna go again. This time I won't break it.
Well, right now our drivetrain's broken so many times that we're cutting a new hatch so we can get access right to it and fix her up a little bit easier. It takes us about 2 to 3 hours just to pull the thing out. We figure if we put a hatch in there, it won't bother us as much every time that Espen jumps in there and breaks our drivetrain. I guess the other option is we could have ran out of here about 2 days ago with our tails between our legs because this thing breaks goddamn much, but that defeats the whole purpose of it all. I mean, we've been working our butts off harder now than we ever have, but I think we're all enjoying it a lot more, too.
As Galveston soldiers through their difficulties, College Station is anxious to put Submaroon to the test.
Yeah, we're going to try to get a run in this morning before our scheduled time. We're hoping to get a little more time in the water, maybe get a chance to get some good speeds in today.
We're going to get the world record today. Not a problem.
Submaroon is off. But it looks like a world record is going to be out of reach on this run.
And they're going to crash, Jerry. They're coming right. No, he's making a good bank, bank. He's coming. He saved himself. Oh, he's going straight down the bottom.
No. Look out.
Pow! Whoa. He just knocked off part of his tail.
Oh, no. That's a shame.
There it is.
I hope they have an extra or a spare.
Well, that was our favorite prop. That was the one that gave us the best speed. But we do have another prop. And we'll probably try it on and see what we can do about repairing this one.
As College Station replaces its propeller, Omer 2, the team from Montreal, is emerging as the front runner of the event. Through methodical, consistent runs, they've already achieved a speed of 6.4 knots, just 3/10 of a knot shy of the world record. They will be at the event for 2 more days, plenty of time to tweak their vessel to its optimum performance. College Station has put on another prop, and they're back on the course, improving with every run.
That was a real good run for us. Went straight through the gate, looked really good. I think we're going to have some really good times later on today.
Feel fast?
It looked real fast. We came through the gate nice and straight. It was really moving. Time? 4.06. We went 3.52 yesterday, so we've already improved on our first time. 4.06. Looks good.
6 knots. That's all we're aiming for now.
What's the record now? 6.4? 6.4.
Yeah.
6.4.
All right, let's get 5 this time, 6 next. What do you say?
Sounds good.
All right.
College Station continues to make solid runs, and in the end, they reach a top speed of 4.464 knots. As they pack up for the long drive back to Texas, their team leader reflects on their performance.
Everything from the control systems to the outside surfaces to the drive mechanism, it's something that we as students can build and construct and we can maintain. And I think we proved that today. We had some good runs and we had some problems with the drive system, but we could fix all those problems underneath the water. And it saved us a lot of time because we didn't have to keep pulling it in and out of water. And I think that's mainly what the design went based on. It's worked very, very well for us, and I can't complain at all about it.
The Naval Academy arrives on the scene with optimism and a plan for their time in the basin.
Our strategy is to make a couple medium speed runs down the tank, get the driver used to driving, let them get the nuances of the sub down. And once they get that down, we can start making higher speed runs. We just plan on staying in the tank all day long and just go ahead and run multiple runs. And just once we get a couple successful ones, then we can fine tune and jack up the speed.
They're making it go to the right. It's coming right above
there
you
we
now.
Go. Hey, I think they might be
They've
going.
They've got guys chasing the boat. It's going to come over towards you, Jerry. They're trying to catch control of it.
Let me get out of his way here. He caught the trap.
Took out the trap.
The timing light came out.
I gotta say, Jerry, that was some navigation.
Yes, it was.
That last one felt really good because we actually got to the net instead of hitting a wall, which was good. But, I don't know, just rookie driver mistakes. Having a lot of fun.
Wasn't that bad, though.
Yeah, I think we're gonna break 9 knots on one of these if we get everything together and we get straight.
Where's your,
we're gonna break the sound barrier.
They're on the way.
Here they come.
Very nice
there
shot.
There they go.
Looks like they're running
straight
nice
down the course. Looks very true this
Uh-oh.
Time.
They're going off.
They're heading. They're missing.
They just
crashed in.
There's a chip out of the window on the. You know where the crack was? To the left, to the port of that. There's a chip. It's like about this big.
Missing?
Yeah, like it popped out. It's not missing. It's still there. It's hanging on by the tape. But we can probably tape it back in place. It's not a big deal.
We gotta move the boat.
I think it's one of those deals where I think it's really a fast boat if we can get it to go straight. It's just inherently unstable because we got aft-only dive planes, and if we could just get it, if they can get their learning curve up as fast as our window repair curve. I think it's going to be fast.
We keep getting so close, but it's one thing that throws off each time. It's either a ballasting or controls. We either go too far or it's one thing every time. It's good practice, so these guys can get used to driving it, and maybe by tomorrow we can get something, a lot faster down. So it's for experience and fun, so we're having fun.
Navy is determined to overcome their difficulties, and they go for another run.
Looks like they're pretty straight this time.
Yep. No,
they go outside.
No, they still went outside. They're nosing down. Ow! Oh. Oh boy, they really smashed into the wall that time.
Yeah, Mark saying ouch for the boat.
Well, you can see the nose flex when they hit. They hit pretty solid. I could feel the thump in my stomach.
Take a little bubble gum and duct tape will fix it right up.
Really silly putty, I think, right along here would be good to go.
Definite quality, but it's fast. It's not fast in a straight line, but it's fast. It's really fast. Just have trouble with the dynamic stability. If we get that down, then we should be good to go.
I'm really impressed by the survivability of our boat. I think we've taken some very impressive hits, and yet... It's still here. I mean, it's not really in one piece.
The team from Montreal has reason to celebrate. Omer 2 has reached a speed of 6.437 knots, just a few tenths of a knot shy of the world record. The Naval Academy team, however, has their work cut out for them. While their ship has improved its performance somewhat, it's still lacking control and stability. The nose of the sub is taking a beating, and they only have 2 more days in the tank to improve their speed. They've decided to forego their original design, and they're adding bow planes to their sub. With the clock ticking, they burn the midnight oil. A new day dawns for the Naval Academy, and their sub sports a new look.
We're done with our modifications. took us to 8 last night, but we got it done.
They go for their first run with the new bow planes.
A little bit. They work. You can tell. They work.
Straighten it out.
Okay, kick it.
Kick it in the butt now.
No problem. Look at it. Kick it.
Come on, go.
We didn't hit anything, but it was controllable.
I think we have a chance of doing well if we can keep this up and not break it again.
Keep the sub on course. He's coming, looking very good here. Very good.
Sub on the course.
Looks like he's feathering those bow planes.
Yes, he sure is. But he's coming right down the line. He looks very, very good as he's going. It's like the best run for Navy yet.
It looks very, very good.
Just a few feet right off the bottom. Good position.
The new bow planes are working, and the team is making big improvements.
Yeah, I know. That was perfect, man.
I was just a good speed on one.
Yeah. He says it's working real well. It's surprisingly good response, so I think we could probably cut our dive planes down if we had another day by about 3 inches or so. So there's plenty of area there, so I think the bow planes are working fine.
It's great. I mean, it's totally different now. You know, one, the factor that you might run in the wall is kind of gone, and it's just nice and smooth, and you can tell that he's got a lot more control on it. Just when I'm stroking, it just feels a whole lot better.
Oh, amazing. It's like a Porsche.
Maybe an old Porsche.
And they are on their way.
And they're on their way. Good
Navy
luck.
Navy is coming down the line.
Good luck, guys.
Sub on the course.
The Navy's speeds are increasing, and they're having a successful day. The team makes yet another run.
Much better control.
Much better control.
They're off the course just a little bit.
The Navy sub has gone out of control. It's a devastating collision with the wall.
Crashed and burned. You all right? Do you need a hug or something? Are you in shock? Are you okay?
No, I was just going to leave it here.
The submarine can take no more, but the Naval Academy is happy with their improvement over the course of the event.
A lot of the things about our submarine were really successful. We had no control system failures. I mean, we had nothing break on the submarine, and it was all done. And like I say, January 15th, we had nothing, and now we're here competing. We got a bunch of successful runs. We got it to work, and the drivetrain, we had no drivetrain problems. All the control systems work. All we need to do is improve on the placement of the control fins, the size, and go from there. It's been an emotional roller coaster, as well as a physical and an actual practical one, trying to get this built on time. And it's taught me more about actual construction and about dealing with people than it has about submarines.
It's the last day of the World Submarine Invitational. Galveston has been struggling the last 5 days with serious control and drivetrain problems and have yet to complete an official run. But the team is still optimistic, and their enthusiasm is infectious.
Well, if you've had the bejabbers knocked out of you in the business world for enough years, sometimes you get knocked down, you lose your enthusiasm. But you get around these young folks, and they're excitable, they're just an exuberance. That they have, an eagerness, and it rubs off on you. These young students are learning a lot more than just the technical aspects of building a sub. They're having to learn organization, teamwork, time management, which was very critical in our case, resourcing, any number of issues involved in business that they would face in the future when they graduate. So I think it's been a heck of a learning experience for all of them, and I think they've responded very, very well.
Ready.
Come on, guys, put some meat on it. You got it going straight. Put some meat on it. Come on, put some meat. Come on, we're going straight, guys. Let's go. They're going straight.
Got it.
Oh, man.
How do you feel?
give you chill bumps. We made it through. I feel good. Get a little excited. You get a little emotional with this stuff. These guys have worked hard. They needed that. I needed that. We all needed that. We're fine. We're going to get one more run in.
We're going to beat A&M, College Station, and we're going to beat Megan.
Down there, our support divers.
This run.
Two support divers, right?
The Woody here is going to keep this up straight on. And we're not going to hit any cameras. We're just going to do what we came here to
load
do.
Up. We got a big pork chop waiting over there on the other side of the gate for Espen. We stick him in there, you know, let him sniff it out a little bit and just have him go at it.
It's a triumph for Galveston. They have conquered their problems through a lot of teamwork and perseverance. In their final runs in the pool, they've reached a high speed of 3.255 knots, far from the record. But after a week of frustration, the team now leaves the event with a new enthusiasm.
When I was coming out this, I was so goddamn fed up with the whole thing because we've been working our asses off so much to get this thing done. But after going through this competition, you know, we're all geared up and ready to go for it again. I think it's an excellent opportunity for, you know, the kind of students we are to get some experience. And it's so goddamn fun, too.
As the event progresses to its final days, only four of the 21 teams competing have broken the six-knot mark. Two of them are Omer 2, the sub from Montreal, and Torpedo 3, the entry from Tennessee Technological University. The two are different in theory and design, yet both are proving to be successful. Tennessee Tech relies on straightforward, surefire design and bulletproof technology. The Torpedo 3 program exemplifies the methodical approach. Have all systems well running and flexible, provide a maximum amount of time in the water making runs, and make a minimum number of repairs. Their planning and hard work have paid off with a high speed of 6.165 knots, third fastest sub overall. They've already begun construction on Torpedo 4 with a design speed of 7 knots. Omer 2 has been racing well all week long and features some of the most advanced technology and interesting innovations of any sub at the event.
The advanced technology is mainly the work of the electronic team, of the main team, which are, they are students in electronic engineering, and they have designed a computer to vary the pitch of the propeller according to different speed and other parameters.
When we finish the race, we just taking the data from the computer, inside the computer. We have a cable here, so we can download all the information in the race. We have the speed, the RPM, the pitch of the propeller. And so with all these data, we can check it, and we can change some parameter in the computer for our best performance in the next race. So every time we finish a race, download information, analyze the data, we can make some graphics of the evolution of the speed. Because we have to reach the maximum speed between the two 10 meter and the camera. So we have to have the good RPM, good pitch. So with the computer, we can control every parameter of the race.
We change our pitch with a step motor. There's a step motor turning on one side or the other with a screw on it, can pulse and push a rod. And at the end of the rod, we have two crank bells that make this movement, and the angle of the prop will move with that during the guys working on the sub.
It's the last day of the event for the team from Montreal. They're fast approaching Bill Nikoloff's record, but have only a few more chances to set a new mark. In a drag race like this, as speed increases, so does the amount of effort necessary to go even faster. Yesterday, they pushed Omer 2 to a speed of 6.5 knots, less than 2/10 of a knot below the Nikoloff run. Today, they've made some alterations in hopes of improving their speed, but so far, their speeds have actually decreased.
Since yesterday, we have removed the front fins, and theoretically it should reduce the overall drag of the submarine, but it caused also another problem. maneuverability problems. Without the bow planes, the submarine tends to change its direction by skidding instead of flying on his planes. So you have to start extremely straight in order to reduce all the skidding and which reduce very much the speed. Right now the pilot is getting straining himself to the new maneuverability of the submarine.
Now we need 2/10 of a second to beat the world record, so we'll try to do it.
I'm a bit nervous now because we're on the starting line and we hope this one will be the good one.
Omer's pilot has things well in hand. Again, the run is straight and their speed is on the increase. On deck, the team is impressed. It could be their fastest.
This was a good one, I think.
But there's a problem.
We had some odd things show up on the video. And we were about to shut down after this run and check it. And, of course, this run, it looks as if the camera watching the start line failed. So we can no longer see the start line. And when they went through the trap, we couldn't time them. We had their exit time, but not the start time. So we're pulling the start camera out of the water and checking it.
So we don't have the...
Yeah, we never saw you go through the line. The camera, we think, failed.
That's too bad.
It's very bad because for me, it was my best course. I feel that it was a very good course, but it's very bad. But we hope to do the same thing later in the day.
It is a good race. The next, c'est une bonne course. On est allé droite. Le pédaleur, il a poussé au fond.
Everything was fine.
Ah oui, c'est tout allait bien. Bon, on va essayer d'en faire une pareille, hein, qu'est-ce que vous voulez. Ça arrive tout le temps, des choses comme ça. Il faut passer par-dessus ça, puis il faut foncer.
Despite the setback, they forge on. Their speed seems to be increasing. They're pushing extra hard through the entire run, and their determination is undeterred. The crew seems pleased with this run.
To beat it once again.
As their onboard computer downloads its data, the team anxiously awaits the analysis of the last run.
Let's go. Let's go.
So close.
It holds a startling revelation, which encourages the team.
Yeah, the computer just told us that we made 6.8 on the course, but just after the finishing gate. So we will start really, really against the wall to have a maximum distance to accelerate in order to have this peak of 6.8 knots between the two gates.
I feel I want to ride. I want to ride. We really want to get to 6.7. We want the record. We want it. We'll try, but we'll get it.
The data on the computer, you get a peak of 6.8. So we just have to keep it more long and you're going to get it. It's near.
It's in our bottom.
The run looks fast.
It seems to be good. I'm going to ask the official timing.
Indeed, it is a fast run. It's a new record for a two-man submarine, 6.546 knots.
We just did 6.546, and we just beat our own record of 6.509. Very small increase. Very hard to explain, but I think that everybody knows that spirit is very important in everything where humans are involved.
Just 0.15 under the world record. On va l'avoir.
Go, go, go.
Come and flash.
Like an arrow.
You want to know the trick? It's the color of the submarine. Blue is faster. It's faster.
We keep on going faster and faster, so I can't wait to see the next... run after run after run. It's a special project, and I like it so much. It's a special feeling.
This is the last competition run. This should be a good one.
They've been buoyed by their new mark. Omer takes its last shot at the record.
Because we had just changed the battery, and we didn't watch where the wire to the battery went. So Murphy was there.
Murphy, though.
It's Murphy everywhere around the world. Yeah, Murphy's our real deal. We have to deal with him. And, it's a complex submarine, and we have to make it stronger than Murphy.
If we unplug the battery, all the computer system goes down. The pitch don't drive. You have no power, no computer, and it's the heart of the sub. But you want to make another race. We're going to ask if you can.
The race committee makes its decision.
I think that's it.
Oh, no. Just one last
chance. Just plug the battery with his leg.
If you let me pedal your boat.
Yes.
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 No problem.
No problem.
Omer has dodged a bullet through skillful negotiating. They've earned a reprieve and are given one final chance for an assault on the record. They've equaled their earlier mark, but ultimately do not surpass their record speed of 6.546 knots.
Yeah, we just did 6.509, which is our the third time I think we do this this score, and this is it. I think we have found the limit of the submarine.
Omer's relentless assault has paid off, and the team from Montreal finishes the event by establishing a new record for a two-man submarine. It has been an historic event. Bill Nikoloff's one-person sub captures the Guinness Book World Record at 6.7 knots. And Omer, too, claims the title as the new record holder for a two-man sub with their speed of 6.546 knots. The six-knot barrier, once thought of as unbreakable, has been demolished. But more importantly, whether setting a record or never even crossing the line, the students gathered here didn't just put their technology to the test. Like David Bushnell and his little wooden turtle facing the British fleet, many teams never approached the record. But they met the challenge and tested their determination, teamwork, perseverance, and spirit. What does the future hold? This event gives us a glimpse of what to expect. As in anything else, when youth, determination, enthusiasm, and knowledge are given a challenge and a chance to succeed, new waters will always be charted.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.